Hi, my name is Mark Schweigert. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft. I focus on U.S. public sector, which basically means I focus on government customers. Today we're here at the Microsoft Technology Center in Reston, Virginia, to talk to InfoStrat, who's released a control up on CoPlex called InfoStrat.ve, which allows or enables WPF and Surface developers to much more easily build Surface and WPF solutions using Virtual Earth. And we're here with Josh Wall from InfoStrat and Josh Blake. And we're going to give you a little overview of what the control is all about and how to get up and running with it and some history behind it. So, Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about InfoStrat and what it is you guys do?
Sure thing. Yeah, so we're headquartered in Washington, D.C. We're a Microsoft partner. We specialize in SharePoint, CRM. We do a lot of SQL Server work. And a lot of our customers are federal government, state and local government, education, those type of customers. And last year we were asked to become part of the Partner Advisory Council for Surface, and that led us into looking at Surface applications for our existing customer base. And a lot of those customers were asking for GIS applications. It was a perfect fit for the Surface. And so, that led us into, how do we build a virtual Earth application on Surface?
Cool.
And that's really how this all started.
Great. So Russ, the Microsoft Technology Center is engaged with all sorts of customers and partners to do a number of different things through the MTC facilities. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of how we got engaged with InfoStrat on Surface?
Sure. So my name is Russ Williams, and I'm a technology architect here at this facility in Reston, Virginia. And we help folks envision and design and prove out different things on the Microsoft stack. That's what we were doing with a customer a bit back, and it was a DoD customer, and they had a mapping application. They wanted to do it on Surface, so we had a proof of concept where we were going to build this application and then reason about it afterwards. So we needed to do some mapping on Surface, and the first thing you'll discover a bit back is there is no mapping control on Surface. So that sent me on an investigation and looking at our discussion list and the community sites and various places over the net, I realized it was something I was going to have to roll on my own. So I built a control for that first application, and we fielded it. It was a little rougher than I would have liked, and so we had another bite at the apple, and in the next shot, when we worked on a subsequent mapping application, we improved it. Actually, that's kind of where you came in the story, Mark.
Yeah, so Russ and I have worked on a number of Surface opportunities here through the MTC, and one of the things that we both talked about is that it was a bit frustrating that everybody who had to who was thinking about doing virtual Earth integration on Surface, and for that matter, WPF applications, it was frustrating that everybody essentially had to reinvent the wheel, right? And so my goal as an offshoot of the work that we did was to start building the beginnings of a reusable Surface control and ultimately a reusable WPF control that allowed you to use Virtual Earth 3D, right? And so I've blogged a number of times about Virtual Earth integration in various different scenarios, and I've shown some quite frankly nasty hacked up samples that I've released, and some of them were quite buggy, but I just didn't have the time to really clean them up. The point being is that we've kind of been going through this whole Surface WPF Virtual Earth thing over and over again, and the goal was to kind of get people down the road of a reusable control. But even with some of the stuff that I put together, it was really just a small start, right? It was more like guidance to get people down the road of building something that they could really put into production. And we had connected up with InfoStrat and sent them sort of the latest version of our sample, which used VE3D and some transparent window approaches to be able to get give the illusion of sort of WPF surface control. And we gave that to InfoStrat.
Great.
And some time went on, and we heard back from InfoStrat with some of the stuff that they were doing. And I guess that's where you can kind of take the background and go with.
Sure thing. Yeah, I mean, we used that, the application that you gave us for probably the first two Virtual Earth applications we built on Surface. And, it worked good. It was a great start. It got us, first applications we built, we're doing a lot with data overlays and using web mapping service layers and that type of thing. And we really wanted to focus on that and not so much on how do we get Virtual Earth to work. Well, about the third application we did, we said, you know what, we want to kind of up the ante with this. We want to improve the performance. We want to add some, capabilities to really leverage WPF, on Surface. and, you know, with push pins and those type of things, and even kind of create a new way of working with menus around Virtual Earth. And so that really led us into, you know what, let's go back and let's almost start from scratch and let's build a new Virtual Earth control. It's reusable because we know we're going to create more than one of these applications, and we need something that, you know, we can, you know, continue forward with. So that actually led to this application, which was the first one that we really built with this new approach that we took, and eventually led to the Infostrat VE control. And this was a solution that we built for Microsoft to demo to up on Capitol Hill to the new congressman, and brought in a few new things. I mean, this is the first time we used, you know, our new approach to the Virtual Earth control, as opposed to the overlay that we've been using in the past. It also introduced this more of a kind of a WPF type of pushpin mechanism, where we had grouped pushpins.
So Josh, sorry to cut you off here, but
no problem.
We'll actually take the camera and zoom in a little bit more.
Sure thing.
And get a better demo of this going forward. Before we dive into that, though,
okay.
why don't you talk to us a little bit about, I guess I'll take it. So we saw all the work that you guys have done, right?
Yep.
And, you know, I was just impressed by sort of the level of advancement that you guys have done with the sample that we gave you. You know, you sort of took it, not only polished, but just sort of the technical approach and everything that you guys did in order to take some of the trivial sample that we gave you and really turn it into a solid control. And
sure.
And as we discussed, everybody has this problem, right? Everybody,
right,
you know, has to sort of reinvent the wheel with Virtual Earth and WPF and Surface at this point, because there's no out-of-the-box control.
Right.
And so Russ and I kind of talked about the idea, and we came to you and said, you know, hey, what do you think about, you know, taking this control and putting it up on CodePlex? And to be honest with you, we kind of expected you to say no.
Right.
And when you said, yeah, we'll think about it, and, you know, as we kind of went through all the conversations,
sure,
I was pleasantly surprised that you guys decided to go ahead and take all of the assets that you guys have built and share them with, you know, the community at large to help,
yep,
fill this gap that currently exists. So why don't you talk a little bit about why that is you guys did this?
Sure thing. I mean, you know, at our core, we're a solutions company. You know, we build, solutions that are, you know, made up of multiple components, like, you know, CRM, dynamic CRM, and SharePoint, you know, SQL Server databases in the back end. And we really see the Surface applications as part of those bigger solutions. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we want to get the word out that, you know, hey, we build solutions, and Surface has been a terrific mechanism for, you know, showing off, you know what, if you've got, you know, a Microsoft Dynamics CRM system in the back end, look at this incredible way that you can visualize it. And check out how you can visualize it on Virtual Earth. And so what we're really, you know, looking to do was, really find another channel to get the word out about the type of work that we do. And we felt like, you know what, we've got, you know, a lot of great videos out there, and we've been, you know, really leveraging, you know, some of the community sites and that type of thing, you know, but no one's really seen the, you know, the type of code that we write and the kind of, you know, the really technical aspect of what we're able to do. They see us as that solutions company. Yeah, you guys can, you know, build these great SharePoint apps and CRM apps, but, you know, we really wanted to show off, you know, what we can do, you know, this, look what we can do with, you know, something really hard like building this, you know, Virtual Earth control for WPF and for Surface. And so we felt this is just another great channel for us to get the word out there about us. But we also felt there's a lot of frustration out there with, you know, there's many other groups that were looking at building Virtual Earth applications for Surface, and there was no real easy way for them to do it. And everyone was, you know, focusing on, how do I get Virtual Earth to work, as opposed to, you know, how do I get, you know, my business intelligence data, my backend systems, onto Surface and on top of Virtual Earth? And that's really where the focus should be. And so, you know, we felt like, you know, this was a really great way for us to, you know, help the community out and to also get the word out about Infostrat.
I think that turns out to be a win-win. So we run into folks the same way. When they would come to applications like this, they weren't looking to build a Virtual Earth control. They said, hey, my business application requires some mapping. Mm-hmm. And so the mapping is actually secondary to the business that overlays on top of it.
Sure.
So the lack of this control just was something we would repeatedly hear from customers who say, hey, we want to do this, but there's no control.
Yeah.
It's always a big impediment.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm still amazed, and I think it's great that you guys have done this. And, you know, I'm sure I've said this to you many times, but I want to thank you on behalf of, you know, all the WPF and service developers out there for you know, providing a solution that fills a gap that there isn't an existing control for right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to get into the CodePlex project a little bit, but before we do, why don't you walk us through a little bit about this application and,
sure.
and how it started off as the genesis that you know, created the control that we're going to be talking about today.
All right, so Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about the application and give us a quick run through of this?
Sure thing. Originally built this for Microsoft to demo to up in Capitol Hill to show off how we could take a constituent services application built on Microsoft Dynamics CRM and integrate it into Virtual Earth and Surface. Using an application that we'd already built in CRM as a back end, and it's showing the cases in CRM on Virtual Earth. And so this is the first use of the control where we have this concept of these grouped push pins, and that's actually part of the control. And it was one of the things that led us to say, you know, we want to have this capability. It's not in this, you know, the original control that we had. Let's start, from scratch on some of this stuff. So that was one of the things. And then the other thing we looked at was, you know, we wanted a new kind of menuing system. So we thought of this idea of having this ring menu to create this multi-oriented experience where you could have, you know, people sitting around the table and reorient the app to each person using it.
And an interesting point about this is without your control, this is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to do with some of the other approaches that people have been taking
right.
with integrating Virtual Earth into Surface because of the fact that you're actually able to use things like clipping and that sort of thing within WPF to make this experience here.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So the Virtual Earth 3D control is a WinForms control. And since we're doing everything in WPF, we have to use the WinForms host to, you know, kind of bridge between the two technologies. And there's, you know, several disadvantages with that. So you mentioned the clipping. So, you know, we wouldn't be able to have this area outside, you know, be empty because the control itself is rectangular. And with the reorientation, you know, that's just a series of transform rotates and scales. So, you know, you couldn't change the orientation of the control. So when we took a look at the initial samples, which, you know, like Josh said, were really great starting point, we said, you know, there has to be a better way, and we kind of took a look behind the scenes at the Virtual Earth control, and, you know, some things that aren't public APIs, and figured out how to get that at the raw image data and pull that out into the direct 3D image, which is a new feature of .NET SP1, 3.5 SP1.
Great.
Yeah, and again, I mean, this was, we had a design in mind of how we wanted to, you know, the app to work, and we just couldn't do it with the limitations of the, you know, original way that we were, you know, working with Virtual Earth. And so this, you know, we added the multi-orientation, we added the ring menu, and we added, you know, a lot of this really dynamic WPF interaction to really kind of, you know, bring, we felt like most of the Virtual Earth apps, you know, that we'd been working on to this point really didn't leverage that full dynamic, you know, user interface experience.
Yeah, and I think that's really important on Surface applications because probably more than other context, you really have to have a sharp user experience for this device. It's really what it's all about. And that little animation that's on there, I really appreciated that so that the user knows that when they push something, that data that came up over there is actually related to the item that I just touched.
Correct.
Otherwise, if you didn't do an animation like that, the data would change as I touched this, but no one would know because their attention wasn't drawn to the fact that it's been refreshed.
Right.
And so this is the app that you guys built that sort of helped ultimately build the control that you guys released up on CodePlex, right?
That's right. This is definitely the genesis of that. This
great.
Is where it all started. So one of the, you know, really great features about this application is we're leveraging the image tags that Microsoft Surface can recognize to pull data from back-end systems and quickly display that through the user interface. So this tag is representing a record in a Microsoft Dynamics CRM system on the back-end. And when I place this tag onto the device, it pulls up that particular record over here. You know, I can go in and make changes to it and save it back and then close that out. So that's, you know, another
way that we're able to leverage this dynamic WPF type of interface. And when I lay the tag down, it really creates this. We've got the animations involved in this dynamic experience with zooming, to the particular record on the map, and then having this come up.
Okay, so we've just heard a little bit about InfoStrat and the history of this Coplex project, and we saw a demo of the control in action. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the control, the technical implementation that you guys chose for this control, and compared to some of the other stuff that's been floating around there about integration with Virtual Earth and WPF?
Right, so when we first started to get into Virtual Earth, I took a look at some of the community posts on the Surface community site. And there was a lot of activity and a lot of interest in Virtual Earth, 3D or otherwise, trying to get it into a WPF solution or a Surface solution. And since there's no solution out there, people were collaborating, throwing out code samples, and this sample doesn't work in that situation, and so here's a fix for that. And it was really interesting to watch people talk about and develop a sample, but really all the solutions were just kind of hacks on hacks. And of course, the Virtual Earth 3D control itself isn't a supported control, so there's only so much that you can do in that respect. So the general consensus among the community for getting something to work was to take the Virtual Earth 3D control, which is a WinForms control, use the WinForms host and put it into a WPF form, and so that works. That'll get it to display, and then there's a bunch of setup and breakdown code. And in order to display other things on top of it, like scatter view items and surface or custom push pins, you have to use a transparent window on top of your regular window. And on that transparent window, you have to move things around and manually manage if the push pin is in the right place. And that's just really bad architecture, and doesn't really scale that well for various reasons. But it worked for a lot of existing applications, and that's kind of the approach that you guys had when you sent us the code. So we said that has to be a better way that we can integrate this. So this was also around the time that .NET 3.5 SP1 came out. And that had a new feature called Direct3D Image, which you can set the source of an image control in WPF to a DirectX buffer. And I knew that Virtual Earth 3D was based on DirectX. So there was a lot of behind-the-scenes code looking into private variables, and finally I figured out how to get access to the back buffer of the Virtual Earth 3D control and copy that into the Direct3D image, and so I could display things. And there's a lot of trial and error there because I have to copy at the right time, otherwise there's tearing, or I don't get anything if I copy the wrong buffer and so on. But eventually we got the right solution going.
Right, and that right there is sort of the holy grail of Virtual Earth integration into WPF, right?
Right, because the Direct3D image, that goes all the way down into the base compositing of WPF, so it's very high performance, and you can do everything that you do with the normal control, transformations, rotations, opacity, putting things on top, layers. So that's really what we needed to have, and that's the magic secret of this control.
And so the transparent window, no longer needed.
Right, no longer need the transparent window because you can put the push pins right on top of your Virtual Earth map image.
And so from a WPF developer's perspective, it's the most natural way of being able to do a Virtual Earth mapping in a WPF or Surface app.
Right, so all this is packaged into the VE map control, and is basically, you write the one line, and we'll show you in a code sample, and you have a map in there, and it does everything you expect to do. And you can add more things like the push pins or customize your push pins. And since we can use WPF push pins in addition to, or instead of regular Virtual Earth push pins, you can do all kinds of cool stuff like the push pins animate and expand and some of the stuff we saw in the demos.
That's great. So why don't we actually just jump into the Coplex project? You can kind of walk us through it, tell us what's there, what's coming, and then we'll jump into some demos as well.
Great. Okay, so here's the Coplex site that we created. the URL is virtualearthwpf.coplex.com. And so it's pretty easy to remember and understand. And the project itself is called infostrat.ve. So you know, we have basic information about the project. It's basically stuff that we just talked about, why it's important and what you can do with this versus just regular interop. You know, overlay items and rotate and use visual brush and whatnot. And at the same site, you can also, of course, get a download. Download the latest release, the binaries, as well as the source. And there's actually kind of a, this has only been out for about 6 weeks, but kind of a little community sprung up with, lots of threads going on around this. So one interesting thing, about a week and a half ago, the Virtual Earth 3D team released a new Virtual Earth control, and has good updates and better performance and some new features, but it broke some things because there's a couple new requirements, and so the Infostrat VE is broken with the new control. So we knew that coming in, but we couldn't test it until we got the new one. And so I posted a post said, new VE 3D control version breaks Infostrat.ve, and I just told everyone, all right, I know it's broken, and I'll be coming out with a fix. And suddenly, since it's no longer working, we kind of see all the people who've been using it. And so there's lots of posts and kind of same thing as before on the other communities. People posted code samples for this fix that problem, and I was also getting emails and giving people hints. There's various people who we're working on a project and we're kind of stopped dead in their tracks, and so a couple days ago I posted an intermediate fix. I'm still doing testing, and probably by the time this video up, we'll have the full fix published, like release 1.1. But I uploaded an intermediate fix, and everyone is happy and it's working again. I keep a monitor on this and respond to everyone's questions and when people need help on how to do this technique or that technique.
Yeah, and so in six weeks you said there's been about 700 downloads or such.
Right.
And so that's pretty impressive, and hopefully after people see this this Channel 9 video, there'll be a significant jump in downloads here.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. You guys just didn't throw this thing up on Coplex. You're going to walk away from it. As soon as you guys found out that it was broken, you were on the fix and turn that around.
Right, yeah, we're continuing to support it as much as an unsupported control based upon an unsupported Microsoft control can be.
I love that.
Yep.
But there's been 614 downloads now. This morning of 600, and there's also been a couple hundred people download the raw source as well. As far as the roadmap, there's we have plans for the next release. We talk about what's in this version, and so we have a version for Virtual Earth on WPF, and also one for Surface. And they're basically the same, except that Surface has support for the multi-touch gestures and a couple other things to make it work a little bit better on Surface. And we also have sample applications for one for WPF and one for Surface. And in the next release, we're going to add support for some additional data processing like GRSS and WMS layers and KML data. And a couple other neat things that people will really be glad to have if they're doing GIS-type applications. They want to be able to bring in information. And some of the stuff we already have in the applications, and we'll be doing another demo of really well-integrated GIS data a little bit later. So let me show you what you get when you download this Virtual Earth control. So we have directories. You can get the source itself. Part of the idea behind Coplex is it's open source. So you can get the source in case you want to make changes, or if you want to see how it works, see what the magic is. So you can see the source behind everything. And then we have the samples directory, and we have sample applications. So let me go ahead and open this up. So this is the sample project, and let me close everything. that's actually the source for the actual control. But I'll just run these two applications. This is the WPF sample. And this isn't meant to be a well-defined or well-designed application. It's just meant to be raw code, you know, showing how you can put the map on here. You can put a pushpin on there at a certain location. It tracks. And you can have data binding between all the different dependency properties of the map, so the latitude, longitude, the altitude. So you can change the map mode, for example. You can change the altitude. Right now we're at 100,000 feet or a million feet or so. I change this, so this is just a text box. There's no events on it, it's just data bound. As soon as we change that, it affects the map. So all the stuff you know about data binding and WPF applies here. You can also control the pitch and the heading. So if you want to get different views, you can do that as well. And so we also have the Surface version. And if you have a Surface SDK, then you'll be able to run this. If not, you probably get some error messages. I'm not sure what. But what we have here, so this is just my laptop, my development laptop. And unfortunately, not everyone can get a Surface of their own. So what Microsoft has provided is a Surface simulator. And this is, it doesn't have any applications installed, but this is the basic, basically the same as on Surface. All the applications run the same in this little window. And
so if you're a Surface developer, you'll build applications on your laptop, kind of work out all the kinks, get them the way you like them, and then you could deploy them on a Surface unit after that if you care to.
Right. So all the applications that I worked on, the constituent services and the Mission Insight, which we'll see, I developed on the laptop. And actually, I'm running on Windows 7. It's not supported on Win 7. It's supported on Vista, but there's ways to get around that.
And the simulator itself comes with the Surface SDK?
Right.
Okay.
And, of course, the question is, how do you simulate multi-touch if you don't have a multi-touch screen and or a Surface? So you can see these little, finger icons. And you can actually plug in multiple mice. So I have an external mouse and my trackpad, and you can move this independently, and that only works in the simulator. Once you go outside, it turns back into a regular mouse. The other one doesn't work. So let's run this Surface application.
Now, if you didn't have two mice, then there's ways to still be able to simulate that in the simulator.
Oh, sure. If you use a right click, and I'll show you how to do that.
That's just too much. As long as you can get it done. That's good.
Right. So this is the same application. There's some additional for sensitivity of the gestures. But move around, we have a push pin, change modes. And so I didn't show in the other one, but in here, if you click or tap the push pin here, that will zoom in to wherever. And this is in code, so I told it to zoom in to altitude of 300. And this is Infostrat's headquarters. And just to show the gestures, so you can zoom out, the pinch gesture has a little bit of inertia on it.
So if this were a Surface machine, these would actually be your fingers on there as opposed to mice.
Right, exactly. And so everything works just the same. So do you want to see how to build Virtual Earth?
Yeah, I think that'd be great if you can just kind of show us how a developer gets up and running and started with it.
Okay. So I have another solution over here. And I have a little bit of sample code, but I'll show you how easy it is to get started with.
So we're starting from scratch.
Yeah, start from scratch to add the infostrat.be control. So we'll create a Windows WPF application. And we'll call it BTest1. So we have our application. Make it a little bigger here. easier to see. And what all you need to do is add a reference to the infostrat.be DLL assembly. We need to add a namespace, so we'll say a map namespace maps to infostrat.be. And then in map, we have our VE map. I'll give it a name. And then we have our VE control. Now, it doesn't work in the designer for various reasons, but if we run this, we can see that it will work instantly. Right. Okay. So we're running this window, and it has our VE control. So this is familiar. It works the same. This is in Windows. And there's nothing else on there, but double-clicking will zoom in.
Yeah, so we just add a couple of references,
right.
And then map control, off you go.
Right.
Nice.
And now you can start building an application. So, and just to show that the compositing works, what we'll do is we'll add a stack panel and some buttons. And I have some code prepared. So, added those buttons. See, this is overlaid on the virtual earth. Alright, so that's on top of the virtual earth. And in the back, the code behind. So I have a little bit of code here, and this will set the latitude and longitude, the altitude, and the map style directly on the control. And this one uses Fly2 for more cinematic transition. So let's build. Start an instance of this. So we have our WPF elements composited. They're on top of the virtual earth, which you couldn't do if it's just a regular WinForms host. And if I click fly, then we will change the map mode and fly to our location. And so this is the rest in MTC where we are. And you know, I'll go somewhere else, and if I click direct, it'll, you know, you'll go straight there, or jump there. So that's just an example of how to interact with the map. So if we want to do a surface version, it's very, very similar. I have the code prepared already, just because it's boring to watch me code. But for the surface version, you have to add reference to the infostrat VE DLL, and the infostrat ve.nui DLL. And NUI is for natural user interface. So we'll add both of those. And let me show you the code. So this uses XAML all the same.
Same XAML as we had before.
Right. Just a couple of extensions for surface. So we have our map, and instead of a VE map, we have a surface VE map, and that's the version in the VE.NUI assembly that has the support for the gestures. And then on top of that, we have a stack panel with some surface buttons, and that's the Surface SDK's version of regular button. A little bit different style, better support for touch. And in the code behind, same exact code here. You know, that was just copied and pasted the same. So now we should be able to build this and run it. So I click step. we're back in the simulator. And we have Virtual Earth. Looks the same. Looks the same. And
now a finger's moving the Earth.
Right, now your finger's moving everything. And of course we have our gestures. And we can fly to our location. Zoom out, move it over a little bit.
Yeah, so the gestures you're saying is if you move the fingers apart, it'll zoom in, bring them back together.
Right.
Zoom out, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, and those are the commonly accepted zoom gestures for now. And also, you know, flicking back and forth moves the map around. And so that's about it. Now, actually, we didn't discuss it before, but I was thinking we should add a push pin just to see how easy that is.
Sure, let's do that.
All right, so on the surface, our VE map, our surface VE map, as a child of this, we can add the surface VE push pin. And we want to have the latitude equal, and we'll stick it on the same place. I'll copy this latitude.
Because Reston is the place to be.
Of course.
Of course. Latitude, longitude. And the VE push pin is a content control. It's basically a button with a little arrow and VE map knows about it. So we can put whatever we want.
And this all works with WPF data binding as well, right?
Oh, yeah. It works on data binding. You can, you know, have you know, it bound to a collection and push pins will show up. Use item templates.
This is actually how we give folks direction here to the rest of an MTC. Give them a lat long.
Right. But coding from scratch every time.
Yes.
So it kind of shows up there. So the yellow's kind of ugly. Shows up there. This is Bushman. And let's run this.
Gets the point across.
So just to show, it's not just text. It's, you know, anything you can come up with. Your images and buttons and other things.
Video.
Yeah, you can have video and a pushpin if you want. And actually, we did this. The pushpins that expand on some of our applications. You can subclass the pushpins and make it, you know, behave differently, give it a different template. So here's a pushpin on our location. It doesn't do anything right now because we didn't set up an event. But, you know, like in the sample application, you know, when you click it, it'll say fly to, just like this button does. So.
Very nice.
Okay.
Great. Well, thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
So we just learned a little bit more about the CodePlex project, and you know, we saw in the beginning one of the applications that was a precursor to the CodePlex project. Now,
right.
This application is a newer app that you guys have written that that you guys wanted to show a little bit about. So,
sure thing. So, what was this is another application we were asked to do to demo the capabilities of Virtual Earth and Surface, and what was great about this is we were able to leverage our control, and so we were just able to focus on adding additional capabilities to it. And so, you know, some of the things we did in this one that were different than the last one we looked at the constituent services is this really leverages that ability as a scatter view item in Surface to be able to be resized and rotated. So because it's a WPF control, I can do this.
That's great.
That's a, you know, really powerful capability. This is actually different than you were actually enlarging the map as opposed to just zooming in. So that's kind of a powerful capability. Or if I just want to kind of completely move it out of the way, I can do that too. So that was, you know, one thing that we did. Let's take a look at you know, a couple of other things. We again expanded the ring menu and are doing even more with it now than we did before. And so in this case, this application was kind of a mission planning application for, you know, so like a military or intelligence scenario. So we were looking at, you know, ways to, you know, analyze that data coming in either through, you know, in this case we're doing Windows or web mapping services overlays. So we're able to, you know, overlay that data on top of Virtual Earth. And so we've got, you know, we're able to concentrate on that part of it. We're also able to bring in some
you know, GORSS feeds and leveraging that push pin capability of that framework in there to show, say, like these would be, you know, some incidents that occurred in this particular area. But we're also able to do, you know, add some new capabilities to it, like adding a way to go into 3D mode, which we didn't do before. And we were able to, because we were, you know, able to really leverage the existing control, we could add in, you know, spend the time to add in this capability, you know, and so this is, you know, a new capability we added to go in and change, you know, both the pitch and the heading and go into a 3D mode on this. So we can switch in there and then turn it off and then, of course, you know, go in and, you know, zoom in like that and then, you know, go back and change the pitch and the heading. So again, instead of concentrating on getting virtual Earth to work in surface, we're able to concentrate on getting these new capabilities to work in it.
Yeah, and I think that's a nice add because if you look at a lot of applications, some applications just require sort of panning, east, west, north, south. You don't have to rotate the map or any of those difficult transformations. But I like this add here because if you need that extra one, you go into a mode and now you can tilt the Earth and move things around in a very natural fashion. So very well done.
So another part of this application that really helps to use our control is the fact that, you know, this is a mixture of doing analysis with the map but also doing imagery analysis. So, you know, in this case, we can, you know, zoom in to a particular area where there's incidents and pull up some imagery and do an analysis. So when I click on this push pin and then I click to look at the images, they're associated with, if you notice, the map just kind of gets out of the way, you know. So, and this
That's
is part
great.
Of, you know, this whole idea with it being a, you know, a control like that, I can, you know, let's just get the map out of the way for a while because what we're really concentrating on here is the imagery and being able to do this analysis. And again, you know, we're able to add this, some of this new functionality, like doing, you know, zoom in and zoom out with this physical ring, which is kind of a, you know, really, you know, powerful way to leverage the vision system in surface. You know, so both I can actually do this in two dimensions where I'm, you know, moving the image in the background, but also doing, you know, zoom in and out with a physical object. So, you know, doing that imagery analysis and even doing video analysis with this, we're able to, you know, spend some time on that and get it, you know, get this capability to work, you know, where we can actually go in and zoom in and out on a video. So again, once, you know, you're done with this imagery analysis, we, you know, put those back on the map and the map comes back out and we're able to go back to using virtual Earth and, you know, working with the map itself. So this kind of multifaceted application where we're going, you know, back and forth between images, GIS data, you know, pulling in data overlays and that type of thing, you know, where all these capabilities are enhanced by using the control.
So some of the things that were showed here are unique to our applications. The CodePlex control doesn't have everything, but I just wanted to point out that, you know, like the 3D control, the 3D manipulation is something that we've added special for, you know, projects that we work on.
Right.
But the foundation to enable all this stuff is enabled by the control.
Right. It's the same foundation.
Yep. That's great.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Josh. Well, thank you very much for that walkthrough. Wanted to ask you a little bit about some of your challenges around the fact that, you know, virtual Earth is still in beta, right? And so some of these uses of virtual Earth, for example, the use here is actually unsupported, right? And then you guys are building this workaround to make virtual Earth work better inside of WPF. And, you know, I've noticed on the CodePlex site that, you know, when we released the latest version of virtual Earth 3D, there are lots of vocal people about the fact that your control broke. And you want to talk a little bit about that sort of delicate dance you guys have to do there?
Right. So of course, there's no virtual Earth 3D WPF control, and that's what we're building. But the virtual Earth 3D control itself is, you know, unsupported in any of these scenarios. It's only meant to be used in a browser, and even there, it's beta.
Right.
So, you know, the team, you know, making changes and changing the API and the data formats a little bit. But, you know, somebody who would want to use it, you know, I'm sure they're happy to see these other kind of rogue uses.
Yeah, so it's, you know, definitely for early adopters and people on the bleeding edge, and it's sort of an at-your-own-risk thing. So I just think it's important for people to understand, especially if they come to your CodePlex site, that, you know, you're building on top of an existing beta product. So you kind of have to move when the target moves and make the adjustments and that sort of thing.
We're definitely building on a moving platform. So, you know, this lag between the new version of the virtual Earth coming out and then, you know, the fixes. You know, painful for some people, but you know, everyone's been very supportive and, you know, trying to help each other, and you know, I've been doing my best to get out there and give people the tips and help they need, give them, you know, the code fixes.
Yeah, so with that, you know, I've noticed on the Codeplex site that there's been a lot of people sort of making suggestions to you and giving right. code back to you and that sort of thing. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you'd like to see from the community at large in terms of giving back to the project?
Right, so there's been some people who've emailed or made posts about, you know, how to do this thing maybe a little bit better or how to add this feature, and that's great because, you know, that's kind of what we wanted. We wanted to get the community involved a little bit, and, you know, like we're talking about, you know, Infostrat made the code available because, you know, there was a need for it, and, you know, we do services. We, you know, go out and help people and make solutions. We weren't going to change our business model to sell a single control. There'd be no point to that. This is helpful for the community to become involved as well, and kind of incorporating some of what people have submitted into the next version.
So what about Windows 7 multi-touch? I noticed somebody made some comments on the discussion about that.
Right. So the Windows 7 multi-touch, that's another moving target right now.
Right.
You know, when that gets locked down, there'll be a good number of people who want to see the virtual earth controls on that, and, you know, it'll be similar to Surface because the .NET 4 will have some of what the Surface SDK has in it, and so that'll be pretty cool.
Great. Well, thanks again.